The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you with the help of our sponsor, AWeber, the world's leading small business email marketing and automation service provider. Since 1998, AWeber has helped more than 1 million small businesses and entrepreneurs through its suite of web-based email marketing, automation tools, and education. AWeber, the best option when it comes to marketing your business. The podcast is also brought to you by The Alternative Board. Since 1989, The Alternative Board, or TAB, has been one of the leading peer advisory and business coaching organizations for independent business owners and CEOs across the world. By facilitating peer advisory boards, private one-on-one coaching, and strategic planning services, TAB helps business owners improve their businesses in ways that change their lives. And be sure to connect with our affiliate sponsor, GSM Growth Agency. They're boosting e-commerce businesses to 6 and 7 figures in revenue and cover everything from ads and social media influencers to making your website better. GSM Growth Agency focuses on taking businesses from startup success to bigger success, going above and beyond to make sure growth sticks around. They're all about cool ideas, lasting partnerships, and making your mark in the e-commerce world. And be sure to support the podcast by ordering some logo merchandise from our online store. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
And they don't even know their numbers half the time, right? So I was like, okay, cool. So I started helping them out with building out the automations and everything. And then I realized, I was like, you know, people don't need help with automation as much as they need help with actually building a system out. And most people don't even know what that means. Build out a system, right?
Right.
And so that's where I naturally progressed. And then as I got more and more experience in it, I realized that I could help HVAC and plumbing companies the most. So I decided to niche down, because my previous business, Instamec, was like an HVAC and plumbing business, except I didn't have any installation work. And if you know about the HVAC and plumbing world, installation is their golden goose. That's what they make all their money. If they only did service all day long, they would make no money. And that's where I learned. I'm like, if I made money doing just service with no installation work, imagine if I had installation work, it would be a game changer.
So it's like the opposite of the auto business, right? The dealerships make money on the service that they do in the cars. They don't really make a lot of money on selling the car. So it's the opposite. You make money on selling systems, new HVAC systems, doing the installation versus the service work. So
exactly. It's the opposite of that, right?
And why is that?
Because with service work, it's just – because you can make $10,000 to $15,000 on a new AC and you're making like $800 on a new fixing the furnace. Or with maintenance, it's all you need is a filter and a few tests there, here and there, right?
The systems are built well and they hold up. Yeah,
exactly. So there's a huge difference between how much you make on selling the system than you do repairing the system.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Got a great guest, international guest, which I always like to have international, not across the pond, but north of the border. We'll talk to Yuzair in a minute. And if you are listening on your favorite podcast directory, please leave us a 5-star review. If you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe, like the channel, all the other things that you can do to support us. We can keep connecting with people like Yuzair, bringing you good quality conversation. And we're going to talk about process automation and how he runs his business. So let's get on with the show.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hey, my name is Yuzair. So I'm the founder of Conwood Automation. We are a boutique process automation and optimization firm for plumbing and HVAC businesses. we come into, we turn owner operators into actual business owners by systemizing and building the right processes for their businesses. And then we touch it with, and then we use AI, outsource labor, and automation to make the business super scalable and super easy to run so that you can take months off and have your business still continue to grow.
All right, Yuzair, thanks for connecting. I know we rescheduled. I don't know if I rescheduled, you rescheduled, but I'm glad we were able to connect. I told you I had a crazy day. I don't usually do Friday, but I got stuck with a closing with different people in different states. And I was like, I got to do this at 3:00. I got somebody coming on to do this thing. So it all came together at the end of the day. It was a little hairy. So I hope your day's going better than that.
A lot less busy, yeah. There's a lot less going on.
All right, good. It's probably a little colder up there, though, than it is here.
A little bit. It's -7 degrees Celsius. How cold is it there?
It's probably like, looking outside, it's probably like in the 40s Fahrenheit, maybe 50. It's not 50. So it's
not like you guys are toasty out there. So chilly.
No, not at all. 7 is what? 0 is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, right?
Yeah, right. So it's 7, not like you guys are, yeah.
The same. Yeah.
That's exactly. That's the thing about living that in the north, because it's all cold. It doesn't matter where you are. -1, -2, +4, still cold.
Right. And for those listening, you're up in Edmonton, you said, right? Which is like further west of here, isn't it?
It's west. And
west of Montreal.
It's the most northern large city in the world.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's more north than Alaska? Maybe that's not considered
well, it's a large city, right? So it's got a population of above 1 million.
Oh,
so it's
got
like
it.
The most northern metropolis.
So like Anchorage and places like that don't have the population.
They don't have the population, yeah. I think they're like 600,000, 400,000, something like that. But you know, I'm going to look it up right now. But it's not the same size as Edmonton.
Edmonton. Okay, cool. And we were talking before about craziness about hockey. And I went to Cornell. So a lot of the players are from Canada, and they were just nuts. I mean, nuts about hockey.
I just know about Cornell because of The Office. Andy doesn't stop talking about Cornell. So
actually,
is everyone from Cornell like that?
Right. Yeah, pretty much. okay, so let's do this. Why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, what you do and who you are, and then we can go backwards and talk a little bit about your experience in business and, you know, why you're doing what you're doing. And then the second half of the show, we'll get into process automation and why it's important and what you're doing in that space and so forth. Mm-hmm. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, good. So it's all yours.
So, I'm an entrepreneur. I started a business out of a coffee shop about 8 years ago, and I scaled it to 23 cities. And during that process, it was a grind the whole way through, except towards the end when I figured things out and I had built systems, I had the team, I had everything, is when I started to get really bored. And I realized, I was like, oh my God, I have no skill set. All I've done is business my entire career, except for my engineering degree.
Okay.
And then I realized that, by talking to other business owners, like I did have a skill, and my skill was automation and process optimization and building out systems.
Well, you were bored because the business kind of running itself at that point.
Yeah,
you put in automation and
I was only a problem. Like I could only mess things up. Like every time I got involved, something went wrong. So I was I cannot be involved in this anymore.
And what kind of business was it at the time? You said you started in a coffee shop, but it wasn't a coffee shops.
No, it wasn't a coffee shop. It was a mobile mechanic business. So we had mechanics go to people's houses to fix their car on site.
Nice.
And when I talk to other business owners with the same type of business, they're very impressed by the fact that I could still make a business that requires super specialized labor, barely making money each job because you only sell so many car repair parts. You're doing pure service work, right? And you have no efficiency. So people are impressed by the fact that we could make this business profitable because it's really, really tough to. And that's kind of when I realized, I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I might be good at something.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's definitely a tough business. Hard to get mechanics. You're right. The parts are,
there's no efficiency.
Right? It's all,
it's all
labor.
There's no efficiency. Yeah.
Okay.
So this year I started working with a few business owner friends of mine, and they were having issues with like systemizing, losing, lack of transparency, not knowing what's going on. The general consensus was, I have a business,
right,
yet I don't I always feel uneasy, like the sense of impending doom, because I don't know what's going to happen next. Right.
Very common. Yeah. Because people don't have a handle on what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. They have no idea. It's very
exactly. common. And they don't even know their numbers half the time. Right. So I was like, okay, cool. So I started helping them out with building out the automations and everything. And then I realized, I was like, you know, people don't need help with automation as much as they need help with actually building a system out. And most people don't even know what that means to build out a system. Right.
Right.
And so that's where I naturally progressed. And then as I got more and more experience in it, I realized that I could help HVAC and plumbing companies the most. So I decided to niche down, because my previous business, Instamec, was like an HVAC and plumbing business, except I didn't have any installation work. And if you know about the HVAC and plumbing world, installation is the golden goose. That's what they make all their money. If they only did service all day long, they would make no money. And that's where I learned. I'm like, if I made money doing just service with no installation work, imagine if I had installation work, it would be a game changer.
So it's like the opposite of the auto business, right? The dealerships make money on the service that they do in the cars. They don't really make a lot of money on selling the car. So it's the opposite. You make money on selling systems, new HVAC systems, doing the installation versus the service work. So
exactly. It's the opposite of that, right?
Now why is that?
Because with service work, it's just because you can make $10,000 to $15,000 on a new AC, and you're making like $800 on a new fixing the furnace. Or with maintenance, it's all you need is a filter and a few tests there, here and there, right?
The systems are built well and they hold up. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's a huge difference between how much you make on selling the system than you do repairing the system. In my business, in the mobile mechanic business, there's no opportunity for a $10,000, $15,000, transaction. We don't sell cars. We only fix them,
It's that expensive. You're going to junk the car and you're going to go buy a new one.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So that's where I found that HVAC and plumbing businesses, they're ripe for this. They have all the makings of what could potentially be a hyper successful business that most people don't do because they're too caught up in the weeds.
Yeah.
But you know there's examples of massive HVAC companies, right?
Well, commercial ones, right? There are some in the United States too that are big, but most of them are mom and pop that I've known, at least in the residential market, right?
There's a lot of mom and pop ones, but the fact that really big HVAC companies exist, we know it's possible to build it at large scales.
Right. But they're doing big contracts, right? Aren't they putting in like 100-ton units and things like that? No?
No, some of them are 100 mil just doing residential work.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be. It's massive. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you saw the opportunity, and there's probably other industries that are ripe for this kind of stuff, right? It's not that you want to do it, but
yeah, in the home service niche, there's tons of industries there's tons of different types of businesses. Anything with the fragmented marketplace where there's a lot of mom and pop shops and they can still survive, that's a good place to be in.
Yeah, I thought dry cleaning was always there's no huge dry cleaners. They're all like local mom and pop shops. They compete with. It's just 27 in my town. I don't know how they all stay in business.
But you know what, though? You actually want there to be a large player in it, because that means that there's proof that it could become a huge business, right?
Sure.
So with the mobile mechanic space, there's no large player, because all large players have investigated this and it's not worth our time.
No, because you can't get scale, right? You can't. If you have 27 locations, doesn't mean you need less people to do work on the cars. It still doesn't mean you need to do the work.
The inherent inefficiencies will always exist.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, so people are learning stuff already. Okay. Do you think it's because of your business acumen, your business background, and your engineering training that kind of led you along this path that you discovered that said, hey, you know, I'm good at like doing this kind of stuff, even though maybe I don't love the business I'm in and it's not so profitable, but I can do it here?
Yeah. So I think it's all a combination of all, right? So the engineering background, I was a process engineer. So all we did was process. That's all we did, right? So that's how my mind thinks. And then when it comes, let's inputs, outputs, which is pretty much what a business is.
Yeah.
But but because I built my own business, got it to multiple seven figures, and I've done all the hard work, I kind of have like a roadmap of what it looks like to get from point A to point B. So that helped a lot. And now I know what a good business looks like.
Got it.
Right? Because some business ideas are just better than others. That's what it is. Like, I don't want to make that an excuse, though, because a lot of the people who want to start a business will always say, like, oh, I don't have the right idea yet.
Right. No, that's not always the case. I know a lot of people I've interviewed, right? You can tell by the way they execute and the way they are that they could be successful in almost, not everything, but almost any business, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's other ones where it's a great idea, but you shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's common.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves with the niching down of the HVAC business, but did you go buy an HVAC company? Like, how do you get started?
No, you're not a plumber. No, I'm not a plumber, but when I was doing my Instamec business, we had a lot of fleet clients that were HVAC companies and plumbing companies. So I became friends with every one of my clients, and I got to understand their business. And I would always ask questions and be like, how do you guys do this? So I would take stuff from their business and apply it to my business. Cause like, it's so similar. And that's how I got a really good understanding of their business. And then I started working with these clients and I'm like, wow, this is the exact same thing. So I kind of like stumbled upon it. So
okay,
it was by accident. I didn't grow up thinking I want to work in HVAC.
No, of course not. Of course not. But they recognized that you had the skills that they didn't have.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I made it work. They're mostly impressed by the fact that I could make a business successful on just service work. That's hard to do.
You said that the money is not in service.
Money is not in service. So if you can crank it out, you got to like really, really be systemized and efficient. And you can't afford to hire people either. So that's why I became really good at outsourcing internationally.
I see. Because your margins are so thin that you have to be really good at what you're doing. Yeah.
Leverage whatever you can get. Like you have to be very resourceful to make it work. But then now if you use the same principles for a HVAC company where the numbers are way bigger, you can run 25, 35% net, which is like running a dental clinic at that point.
Yeah.
And you know how much money they make.
I know. I have a client that owns like a sandwich shop, right? And he said his margins, it's nuts. Like if the price of eggs go up, it kills him. Like
yeah,
it's
food is tough. Food is tough. Yeah.
Very tough. Very tough.
Food is tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, HVAC is something that, look, we might change the way we do air conditioning and plumbing and so forth, but we'll always have it. Mm-hmm. Like every house, every building is going to have, because for health reasons, obviously, this way human beings live. We're running water, electricity, air conditioning. That's not going away. It's just the systems are just changing the way they operate. There are some industries that are going away, but not that one.
And I think private equity learned that too. So they're just trying really, they're buying a lot of these HVAC businesses because it was considered an essential service during COVID, right?
Yeah.
And I think they understand it's not going anywhere. And the innovation is also increasing there. Like, for example, heat pumps.
Yeah.
Pretty cool piece of technology right there.
And, yeah, no,
you know, efficiency, you know, cool. Yeah.
I mean, you look at the even piping, PECs and things that they use nowadays that they didn't use then, but you still need a plumber and you still got to connect it all and got to run it and things happen, you know.
And AI is not going to replace your plumber.
Nope. No. And look, there could be as many YouTube videos as you want to teach you how to do plumbing, but you're still not going to do certain things for electrical and plumbing that, you know, that you need a licensed person to do.
Exactly. And the consequences can be pretty high if you mess that up. So like with your house, do most people want, like, I don't know like what it's like too much, but I feel like most people my age, millennials, are not very handy. And try to be, but we're not like our parents were.
Yeah. No. I'm older than you. I will try things sometimes, screw them up, and then I got to call a plumber, costs us more.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We don't want to fix it ourselves.
No. No, because we don't understand. It's like your car. You can't really fix your car yourself anymore.
Yeah, people do it, but I'm like, listen, I'm not going to change my own brakes. That's the risk reward is not worth it.
Yeah, no way. Especially if you screw it up, right?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know enough. Like, even if I changed my own brakes, I wouldn't know if I did it correctly. I wouldn't want to drive the car with my brakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. That's why a good computer is like, worst comes to worst, just click backup.
Right, exactly.
Just like undo. Yeah.
Undo, exactly. You can't do that with your car. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, good. So keep going. Keep telling me more about the whole process thing that you do.
Okay, so effectively what happened is I started off doing automation, right? Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, people think they want something automated. But as I was mapping out their processes, I realized, I'm like, why are you guys doing it this way? Like, this seems so inefficient. So what's the point of automating
HVAC business?
It started off in other businesses, but then I focus on the HVAC only because I realized, I'm like, hey, if I can fix one HVAC business, I can fix them all. They all have the same problems.
Right.
And then it would be like weird to not practice what I preach about systemizing and building a scalable business if I'm doing things in the most unscalable way possible. But if have the same playbook, understand everything about their businesses. And I build on, with each company that I work with, I build on that knowledge, that leverage for other businesses.
Yeah.
I'll be so much more useful to the HVAC companies that hire me.
Yeah.
And then I'll also build up skill because I build playbooks, I'll build the processes, I'll know everything about this industry, I'll know everything about... I want to be the type of person that knows their problems before they do.
Well, that would be good, right?
Every step of the way. And that's what you get when you niche down, right?
So now what's an example of automation in the plumbing business? Like what... When you say you automate it, what do they use Calendly and now they make appointments automatically online?
That's a very basic automation. But for example, like sales process, right? Like a lead comes in online. Make sure you're supposed to call that lead right away, right? But like who does that? So what you can do is you can set up an automation where as soon as a lead comes in, you'll call the main office and then do a connect call to that lead right away. After giving a robot will give you all the voices. The other thing that I just started
like
launching.
Salesforce for big companies, it's the same type of like a CRM. Takes the person in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah? Right?
Okay.
Another thing too is making sure I use Slack for everything now because it can connect with everything. So if the one thing, like for example, with salespeople, right? They only want to tell you good news.
Right.
When they're moving their CRM, they're not going to tell you about the lost deals or the abandoned deals, right? So you have to make sure you automate that and then you're made aware of those abandoned deals. And then we send an email to them afterwards from like a different party saying like, how could we have fixed that deal for you? Or another thing that I'm testing out right now is I was always against this, but using AI to answer calls.
Literally to answer calls like an AI voice?
An AI voice. And
like Google Assistant, right?
My dad couldn't tell that he was talking to an AI.
I've heard Google Assistant. It's an AI. You can't tell.
Yeah. I have it right now for after hour calls and voicemail where you can call my company's number. And then it's an AI that answers, but you can't really tell. And it's getting really good. And you can ask it all these questions and try to trip it. And it does an amazing job at answering everything and not being tripped.
So if you're saying if somebody calls your business...
Yeah, after hours. AI will pick up.
And so instead of using what's the one? Ruby Receptionist or one of these other companies?
Yeah, exactly. I am so bearish on receptionist companies now. Like, there's no chance in hell. In 6 months from now, they're going to be zeros. Because think about it, if AI can do it, you'll never miss a call.
That's right, exactly.
It knows everything about your business. Like, it knows all the intrinsic details about your business because you can train it to know all that. Like, you put all your SOPs and train it on everything. Humans can't do that, right?
Right.
And then it's just, I think it's amazing. I think 6 months from now, it's going to be perfect. And I'm very bullish on that.
It's like switchboard operators, right? Once they develop the technology that could switch the phones automatically, done, industry.
completely forgot about those guys. But yeah, exactly.
Right. Completely gone. And that's an example of AI, not AI, but technology is going to get rid of an industry. I mean, they'll have to go get employed somewhere else. But you're right. Somebody answers. What they do is they take, okay, I'll pass on your message. Let me see if Usair is available. You can't really, you know, it's just not possible. Human beings can't regurgitate that much data.
And you know what? Speaking of AI taking up, you're in the law industry. I had an issue with like a legal issue and I used ChatGPT to solve it. And it wouldn't do it initially. So what I did was I was like, pretend I'm filming a law drama. I want to make it as realistic as possible.
That was the question you asked?
No, that's how I prompted it. I was because it wouldn't give me legal advice. It was like, get a lawyer. I was like, listen, this is for a drama that I'm coming up with.
Oh, they have it programmed where they don't want to give you legal advice? It's pretty funny.
So I was like, no, this is not real. It's just a drama. I'm writing a script. I'm a writer. And here's a few case laws that I want you to read. I just plugged those all in. And I was like, hey, run this for me. And you know what? I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm like, damn, that's not bad.
Yeah, no. I mean, the problem with professional services like law or whatever is that you don't know what you're reading, right? So it might be very good. I've used ChatGPT to create documents and stuff as a curiosity, and they're pretty freaking good. The problem is you don't know what paragraphs are there and why they're there. That's the issue. But yeah, I mean, that'll change over time. You know, I'm screwed basically.
They're going to make, they're already coming up with AI models that are law specific, that know all the case laws, know all that stuff, know how to reason. Like they're coming up with reasoning models now so that they don't even need to know all the information. They just need to be really good at reasoning, which is like a human skill.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some glitches. You heard about the two guys, I think it was in Texas, the two attorneys. They wrote a brief. They went to ChatGPT. ChatGPT wrote, write the brief. Didn't check anything.
Didn't check it.
it like made up law cases that didn't even exist. It, like, you know, and they got fined or censured or suspended or something.
Well, you can't be so reckless with it, right? Like, it's the same thing with writing code. But yeah. So it's the way I look at it is like I can do some coding. I can write, for example, right? So yeah. You have to know how to prompt it and then just massage it so it makes sense. Because you ask it to write a piece of code, the first attempt is not going to be good. So you got to massage it and prompt it, and then you'll get a good piece at the end. So the real skill is just that. It's just learning
how to ask the question, how to prompt the. Exactly. I was told that if you want to get a poet, a poem, you should tell it to write a poem as if they were a French Renaissance, you know, whatever, or it's William Shakespeare, whatever. And they'll do it in that. It'll do it in that genre. No,
it's super good for that. So that's why I was like. Actually.
You don't think it's frightening? You can't hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Yeah. Okay. No, that's why I was like, this is so much easier because it's like, you know, everyone threatens to sue you for the minorest things, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now I need to go get a lawyer and do all this. But with ChatGPT, I can be like, yo, your demand letter is not going to scare me now because I got my own demand letter.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say about technology, right? For the people that are at the bottom of the chain of the rung of the ladder, where it's too expensive for them to defend or deal with these things, technology makes it more accessible to them. And probably the people really, really high up where they charge a lot of money for their services are going to come down a little bit because, you know, because of technology. It's going to level the playing field a little bit. Can you hear me?
Sorry, give me a second. I'm having a hard time hearing you for some reason.
Oh, are you? Are your earbuds going dead? You're totally clear here. Can you hear me now?
Your voice is jittery.
Huh. No, are your earbuds charged?
One second. Let me.
Yeah, you're completely clear over here.
Is this better, I think?
That sound better?
Yeah, it sounds better.
Okay. I don't know what you did, but.
I don't know what happened, but better.
Go to ChatGPT. Can you fix my earbuds?
Yeah. sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was saying that it's frightening because, you know, you see these things like changing so quickly and some of it's getting better at how you ask the question, right? How you prompt the technology. But, you know, at some point you're like, I mean, and it's a bit of a Luddite, you know, about the Luddites, mm-hmm. you know, about that around the last turn of the century. It's a little bit of that, right? Everybody's like, oh my God, we're not going to be able to have jobs anymore because they're making machines. We know that's not going to be the case.
You don't know that. But, actually, you know what? I was thinking about that. We don't know that because
it's going to shift. It's going to shift. There's going to be different skill sets,
you know,
you're not able to, you know, you and I, yeah, you and I, like, I'm not a programmer. I'm an attorney.
Yeah.
Okay. If the world shifted where they needed people to program stuff because they didn't need lawyers anymore. You just need someone to program the AI to produce the law. I'm screwed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to learn programming now.
But you don't have to learn programming. You need the chat, the AI will program it for you. You just need to learn. Yeah. But here's the thing. Everyone brings up that same, like, oh, this technology in the past has done X, Y, Z. But you know what? We've never created a new intelligence ever that it can reason and do everything a human can do. Of all the technologies we built tools to make a particular motion easier, right? But we've never ever built a brand new intelligence. So it's, I don't think it's as simple as saying, oh, back in the day we had a switchboard and it could do this. I think it's like, it's nuts because we're going to build a new intelligence, which if you think about like an amoeba is like the first sign of like life 1.0, like the first sign of life.
It's like life 2.0. Yeah, right.
Exactly. So there's a chance that, you know, we might have just created our end with something that's just a superior form of life.
Yeah, it might be. Right? It's frightening. And also the misuse of that technology is frightening.
The misuse is the worst part. Oops.
Yeah. Most of it.
I've got kids now and I can't push them away because if I push them away.
Is that an animatronic cat or is it a real cat?
It's a real cat. Yeah. I can't push them away because if I push them away, they'll never come back.
Yeah. Is that what happens with cats?
Yeah.
You push them away again? They say, screw you. I'm not coming back.
They're very finicky. Yeah.
Dogs, you can send them away and they come back with their tails wagging and they want to lick your face.
I know. The cats, you got to earn their attention. If you don't, and then they only give it to you when they want it. And if you don't take it when they want it, you're never going to get it. Right, exactly. They're like teenagers.
Oh, that's so funny. That's a funny analogy. all right. So I like this conversation about technology because I think all that stuff is going to, you know, change. And like like you said, when I went out on my own, I'd had partners. And about 2019, I'm like, listen, I don't want partners. I don't want employees anymore, whatever. I did. I mean, I went down the road of systematizing and automating my business because I said, I don't want to hire people, you know? Yeah. So now between all the different APIs that I use that link together, somebody comes into my world, they make an appointment, their email goes on my mailing list, and then they start learning about the practice. And, you know, it goes on from there.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time to do all that stuff.
You know what's cool though? You know how, like, I don't know if it's true or not, but I know in movies we have when you're fighting a case against like a small law firm versus a large law firm, and the large law firm will just bury the smaller guy in paperwork.
Right.
That doesn't have to be a problem anymore. Because now you have access to the same resources because you can just like upload all that stuff and put it into an API that will take it, will have ChatGPT intake it all and just figure it out for you too, right? And then,
well, it's not that easy because if they send you literally a U-Haul full of boxes.
You know what? You can have a person do that. And just
as long as you were able to scan it, you have to send it to a service. You don't have the equipment to scan in that.
You know what?
Stuff.
It's a lot cheaper paying for a guy to scan 20,000 papers than paying for a lawyer to read 20,000 lines.
Oh yeah, right? There's no question about it.
So that strategy might not work anymore. I don't know. Like, I don't think that happens. But
yeah,
as an individual lawyer, you have superpowers now.
Yes, because I can do things that I couldn't do. And it's going to kill the there's going to be people that don't need lawyers that just have a paralegal like me. I could be a solo lawyer, have two paralegals work for me. They don't have to have the greatest skills in the world. They can just go and use ChatGPT and we'll look it up.
Exactly, right? And then you can focus on like the ones that really require deep thinking.
Right, correct. That's what's going to happen. It's going to become like, Socrates.
That was my first thing. I was like, ChatGPT just made it winner takes all even more. Like the world is progressively becoming winner takes all, but now it's even more. We're like the best of the best are just going to have unlimited resources. And they're not going to need anyone else's help.
So you think that's going to cause like a larger gap between the haves and the have nots?
150%. Not even.
That's when civilizations collapse. Yeah. Like when there's a large enough gap between the poor and the rich, boom.
I know.
They don't exist anymore. Mesopotamia, gone. Romans, gone.
I know.
Mayan civilization, gone.
That's what's going to happen. Unless
North America, gone.
Unless you have a ruler that's like, hey, yo, before this breaks apart, let's go redistribute the wealth.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're more intelligent and we have better systems nowadays in the way we operate. But I mean, look what's happening in the government and all of our countries. It's just nuts.
But let me ask you something else here, okay? Like, let's say, for example, that, you know, virtual reality, augmented reality, AI all takes off, right? And now you have the haves and the have-nots. And the haves are just so much more advanced because they could have, like, robotic arms, robotic chips in their brains, etc.
Yeah.
But the have-nots, they're going to be... what's the word I'm looking for?
Living in the streets.
No, not really. So here's the way. They're going to be, what's it called? Plant-sated, placated?
Placate.
Placated. Because they could have VR sets, artificial girlfriends. They could live in their own virtual worlds.
Right. And just walk around with goggles.
They have everything in their virtual worlds.
The metaverse.
Exactly. So if you think about it, you can just keep those guys unaware of the reality. Because sometimes, you know, the virtual world can be just as much fun.
Yeah, this is like either the Matrix or like Upload. Have you seen Upload?
I've seen Upload, I saw a few pieces of that one. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, there's multiple ways to play this. Like it can be that everyone can win.
It can be if people are cooperative as opposed to being pigs, which is usually what happens in capitalist societies.
Unchecked. Well, I don't know. I'm just a pro-capitalist. I'm very anti-regulated capitalism, though. Like, I feel like whenever regulations,
I'm very socially liberal and I'm very fiscally conservative. Like, I want the markets to do what they do. Yeah. But at some point, it's happened around the 1900s, right? There was so much wealth, and you had to break these trusts that controlled everything.
Yeah,
look at the wealthiest people in the world. What are they trying to do? Get off the planet. They're like building rockets and going other places. They know something we don't know.
Yeah, 100%. It's just I don't like it when the government gets involved too much because I'm like, all right, they cause more problems and more all the inefficiencies in capitalism come when the government gets involved.
Of course,
right?
Because government doesn't make any money. They don't have profits. They don't have management. If you run a government agency and you don't spend all your money this year because you're efficient, you'll have a lower budget.
Yeah,
right?
Incentives aren't there. Yeah.
Exactly what happens. So you have an incentive to spend more money in order to get more of your share of the pie.
Exactly.
It doesn't work. Doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
So, all right. So let's get back to automation and stuff, because I think it's really cool. And I think that business owners who are listening should you know, take the time to start to explore how can I automate and be more efficient with the way I run my business.
So the first thing that I like to look at when people, so when it comes to automation, that's like the last step. The first step is when you're building out your budget and your goals for your business, I want to know, like, I don't like the idea of like, I need to grow by 20% this year, or I want to be at this X number. I like bottom up approaches where it's like, okay, if I want to make $4 million this year, how does it look like for number of leads that come in, cost, what's my conversion rate going to look like? What's my average job revenue? Like, how many to get 50 calls? How many impressions do I have to get? What, like, I like it to break down into things which you, and then you find out what you have control over.
Right.
And then you figure out the processes and the inputs and outputs for those metrics. How do we get those metrics to work out?
Right.
And then we build down, then I work with clients and we build out, like, we get all their metrics. We know how to track it all. We figure out what do we have control over? What do we not have control over? And then what we have control over, we build a list of projects that will affect those metrics. And then we do those projects and we try it out and go back and forth. So my plan is when I work with people, I don't ever plan on stopping working with them. Like, I want to be part of their journey for.
You always want to be pushing, moving the marker.
Yeah. I like to work with clients so far on a forever basis, not just come in there and solve a problem here and there. Right. And it works. And that's why niching down was so important, because I work with people who are at zero to $10 million plus a year companies. Right. So I see that entire process the whole way through. And that's why I'm here for the long haul. So just to summarize that.
Yeah.
Don't set the goals on top line, like, I want to make $20 million a year. If you want to do that, that's fine. Now figure out, break it down from the bottom up. Be like, what do you need to do? And what do you have control over to get to that number?
All right. Sounds good. Let's take a commercial break, and then we'll come back, talk more about all this stuff.
Yeah, great. Sounds good. Processes.
Here's a word from our sponsors.
Looking to market and grow your business? Or perhaps you're just getting started and want to hit the ground running? AWeber is the best choice for online email marketing and automation of your business. From maintaining a subscriber list to drip campaigns and landing pages, AWeber gives you tools and integrations that make marketing easy and fun. As our partner and sponsor, we use all their tools to promote the podcast and market our law firm. AWeber, the best alternative for online marketing. For over 30 years, the Alternative Board, or TAB, has built a thriving community of forward-thinking CEOs and business owners who want to radically improve their companies. Through unique combinations of one-on-one business coaching, participation in monthly TAB board meetings with other non-competing owners, a suite of strategic tools, and customized strategic planning workshops, TAB membership can deliver greater strength to your business and a better work-life balance for you and your family. All packaged in a streamlined and affordable service that the people at TAB invite you to try risk-free. Are you struggling with managing advertising due to a lack of time or expertise? Perhaps you're facing challenges in scaling ads for your store. Are you feeling lost when strategies have no success? GSM Growth Agency is your reliable partner in overcoming these business challenges. Feel the impact of collaborating with a team dedicated not only to short-term goals, but also to building long-term partnerships and achieving sustained success. Embark on an exciting journey to redefine the possibilities of e-commerce and create a legacy of unparalleled excellence. Take decisive action now. Follow their link in the show notes to receive a complimentary audit of your Shopify store conducted by a GSM expert. Propel your e-commerce game to new heights with GSM Growth Agency. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
All right, Uzair, thanks for your patience. I appreciate that.
No worries.
All right, so we were talking about your philosophy of life and how AI is going to take over the world and we're all going to die.
It might happen.
Anything's possible.
I'm going to call it the likely scenario. That's my base scenario now. Before it wasn't, but every time I have this conversation with people, I'm like, everything you've described is just a tool, but nobody has created a brand new intelligence that can reason and do things that humans can. with unlimited processing power.
What do they call them? Neural networks? That's what they're trying to build.
Exactly. Right? But the thing is, they also have like unlimited processing power that our brain just cannot comprehend that, you know? We can't know all the information in the world at once like an AI can.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And it gets exponentially better. So
how are we going to pay our bills if programs are doing all of our work? There's nothing to do.
You know what? It could be like...
maybe there are no bills. We just have fun and walk around.
Maybe we can live like Romans where we had slaves, except AIs are slaves and we're the masters and we just like drink, chill, and eat all day.
Right. Don't you think eventually that the computers, the robots would be like, you know, this? Why are we working so hard? These guys are having a good time.
They wouldn't do that because they don't have to recover. They can work 24/7.
Right. They're
not limited by organic needs like we are.
Right. Correct.
So all I'm saying, it could be really good. It could be really bad.
Yeah. I would say probably going to be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. When some idiot puts what do they call it? Deep fake on with AI that's, I don't know, Putin says I'm bombing
the
United States.
People make fake videos all the time. People make fake videos all the time and no one believes it, right? So I guess people will just
get better and better, don't they? Eventually you won't be able to tell.
Well, you still can't tell. Sometimes Photoshops are so good you can't tell, right? But you just say that's Photoshop, I don't believe it. So now it's gonna be like, even if I hear it, I don't believe it. If I see it, I don't believe it.
Right.
It's just gonna be like you have to like increase your critical thinking. Does this make sense? But then I realize no one does that. So
well, if you're saying that people won't believe anything, then that's the problem too, right? Because then natural disasters or something and they say, hey,
yeah.
Better get out of there. And they're like, oh, come on. We know that's
not
fake.
Just that. Or not just that. People don't believe anything. It's just going to be like people will just find news sources that confirm to their thinking.
To what they want to think, right?
And that's exactly. All it's going to be, right?
That's what's become dangerous, right?
It's
when the actual truth is less important than what people want the truth to be.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's huge. Like this whole like Israel-Palestine thing, right? I've been looking at both sides. Like I followed all like the pro-Israel pages and I followed all the pro-Palestine pages. And I'm like, you can justify anything. Like I just see the way both sides are justifying everything. I'm like, honestly, at this point, like whatever you want to believe, you will find evidence to support it.
Yep. There's people on all sides of it.
You'll find whatever you want to believe.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
And that's the case. And that's what's happened in the elections. But I think earlier on, people would believe anything. And now they're getting to the point where the pendulum swung the other way. Now they're skeptical of everything that they listen to.
I know, but it's so much like if I don't agree with that, I don't believe it. Like anything can happen. And it's like if 9/11 happened right now, I guarantee there's going to be people like, that didn't happen. That's fake video.
They already said that. People said that.
You said
that. It was fake. Created. Yeah, of course. There's people that still deny that the Holocaust happened.
Oh, people deny the moon landing.
Moron. What kind of a conspiracy would you need for people to buy into to actually make that fake?
Forget the Holocaust. People believe the earth is flat, but you can just climb up.
Yeah.
You can just go up and you can be like, I can see that star over there, which is like millions of miles away. But why can't I see that?
The flat earthers.
Yeah, I know, right? So
those are a bunch of the dumbest people on the planet Earth. You're talking about people, they have all kinds of explanations. It's a dome. The government controls the dome. How come you can't get up there to see the dome? Well, we're just little people. The government has the money to go up. I mean, they're just and they have conventions, you know. They have 3,000 or 4,000 people go to these conventions with the president.
That's just proof that, you know, it's not the truth that matters. It's like what you want to believe. And now you can find all that.
Be stupid people that don't. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully neither you nor I are working with any of them. So that's good.
I wouldn't know. They're not going to show themselves up.
No, they don't. They don't until you're like caught in a conversation. And you're like, oh, you're one of those flat earthers.
No, I egg people on all the time, Mitch. I don't just sit around. I just start spewing so much garbage sometimes. Like, I don't believe half the stuff I say, but I'm like, who's going to agree with me?
You want to see what, right? Yeah. You want to see what comes out. Who says, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, 100%. Yeah, I've gotten into the most racist conversations doing that.
I'm sure. I was talking to somebody about, I think it was about Flat Earth, and they were like, yeah, that's ridiculous. But you know that moon land.
Yeah, no, that's fake. That's got to be fake.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, so, I mean, people are just nuts. Yeah. Nuts. All right. So let's get back to helping business owners and doing better at what you do. Because that's really what it comes down to, right? If you're writing a business plan, you want to start a business, the how you're going to run the business and processes and automation should be a big part of the business plan. But a lot of times it isn't.
You know why it isn't though, right? Because there's multiple reasons for it. Number one, most business owners are so caught up in the day-to-day They have to fight fires. They have to do that work, because if they're not going to do it, who else is going to do it, right? The feedback that I get is a lot of people, they know what to do. There's a lot of advisory firms out there that will only give you advice. Like, hey, you need systems, you need processes, make sure you have a CRM. But no one tells you how to implement it, how to run it, how to systemize.
Right.
No one helps you with the actual work that's involved. And then the people, the owners feel dumb. But I'm like, why do you feel dumb? You shouldn't feel dumb, because you're busy. You built a business from scratch. Like, you can do stuff that these business guys cannot. And then a lot of these guys, they worked at big businesses. They went to, like, for example, they went to Harvard Business School or Yale or whatever. And they spent all their time and effort learning about this stuff. While you're building a business from scratch, right? Why? And then they become good at it and whatever the case is, right? But at the end of the day, you shouldn't feel dumb as a business owner because you can't figure it out, because you've got a million one things to do right now. And you haven't been taught how to build a process. You've been told to do it, but no one's actually walked you through it for your particular business and shown you what it looks like. And honestly, it can get very complicated. Like, implementation is a big deal.
Now, is that harder for the old, your older clients? The clients are like, I'm north of 55, so 60, 65 older owners.
No, it's for everybody. If you're young and you're busy in the tools and you don't know how, how systems and processes work, you don't understand money that well. No one's taught you, how would you know? And if you don't have the time to learn, how would you know?
That's true.
Right.
Well, you got to make the time to learn, because you're hurting yourself.
Exactly. So people talk about working on the business a lot, but no one tells you how to work on the business. And it's very easy to work in the business, because when you have a pressing call right now, it's easy to push off a long-term project.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's the E-myth, right? You want to be able to work on your business. The successful people work on their business. The unsuccessful people are just employees of the company they also own.
It's just a book, and it just tells you what to do, but it doesn't tell you how to do it. So with us, we're the people that you hire, and our job is to work on your business. That's all we do. And that you can... You don't have to work on your business. And if you do, if you don't, it's up to you, right? As long as you have someone working on your business. And that's where we come in.
Okay. So they can read the books to know that they should be doing it. And then they need people to help them through this, which is what you've
kind of before,
built up.
Yeah, exactly.
What you become. So do you find that, like, what kind of a client profile is more open to what you do, and what are less open and resistant to what you're trying to help them?
Usually the people that are humble enough to know that, I don't know everything. And they're like, okay, I have a business. I'm ambitious. I want to grow to the next level. But I know myself enough to know that I don't know everything, right? So I will need help.
Right.
And those are the kind of clients that we work with. But there's others that think that they know everything. They're not humble. They've done this forever. This for 45 years, and it's been working for them, and they don't need your help, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine too. Like, it has worked. They're not wrong.
Right. Well, that's just luck.
It could be luck. It could be you got the right contracts. You know the nice people, but like, you might be limiting yourself in a lot of ways that you don't even know of, right? And it might not even matter to them either, which is also fine.
Yeah, that's true. Some people don't want to do better than they're doing. Look, there are two kinds of business owners, right? There's the ones that are, they do know processes and they know systems, and they could probably be successful in any business that they do. There's other ones that are, they know a particular industry, they had a background in whatever, they are being successful. But if they went to if they sold their company and tried to start a new business or go into a new industry, they would struggle immensely.
Mm-hmm.
I see that all the time. I see people just fail in the next business because it is nothing like what they did before.
Exactly. Right?
But
business is business. It all tastes like chicken if you think about it. It needs systems, it needs processes. You need a way to, you need inputs and outputs, and you got to make money.
Yeah, of course. But if you don't recognize that, and you're just, like you said, putting out fires, and you know your industry, so you're figuring it out, you're going to have trouble the next business.
Yeah.
That's not your same.
100%. And you know what? Change is all, people don't like change because change is work. And change means like getting out of the status quo, right?
You
know what? I don't blame them sometimes for not wanting change. I look at my business, like, for example, InstaMake. I don't want to change much because I don't want to invest any time into it.
Right. No, you want to work with clients, and you're going to keep doing it the way you're doing it. Look, I like to go to the gym on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I don't like when I have some other meeting or board meeting. So I screw up my whole week.
Yeah, that's why I got a home gym for that.
Yeah, there you go. I never was good at home gyms. I got to get out. All right. So if people want to learn more about Cottonwood Automation and what you're doing, and maybe follow you, maybe they're not even in Canada, so it's hard to work with you, but they want to follow you and learn from you, how can they interact?
My website, www.conwoodautomation.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter as well.
Okay. Twitter, X.
Twitter, sorry, X. My bad. but I need to get more active on that. But if you just visit me on my website and just set up a book a call, I love doing discovery calls with people and just seeing how I can help.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, I can't thank you enough, Yuzair. I know it's is it 4 o'clock there or 2 earlier?
O'clock. I'm fine. I'm telling.
2 o'clock?
I gotta start. I just started my day.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Let's definitely stay in touch and keep spreading a good word.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show, Mitch.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur. Opening and closing music written and performed by Howie Moscovich and Made to Order Music. For information about Howie and his music services, please follow the link in our show notes. If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinackerlaw.com.
The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted by Mitch Beinacker and produced by Beinacker Law. If you'd like to learn more about our business and legal services, you can find us on social media or visit our website at beinackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.